Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we're glad you're doing that. And we consider that a sign of high intelligence. You're going to get a lot smarter, too, especially with regard to the life and times of one great American. We just signed off with a living great American, Herman Badillo, who I consider to be just a remarkable human being, remarkable American that I'd like for you to know more about. We're going to be getting him back on the show in the future. And then we've got Dr. Thomas Schwartz with us, ladies and gentlemen, who's going to talk to us about the life and times of another great American. As you know, today is Lincoln's birthday, Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And Dr. Schwartz is the interim director of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. And he's also the Illinois State Historian. He says I can call him Tom. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
It's good to have you back, or good to have you here, I should say. I'll say that next time.
Okay.
Today is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Why should we care about that?
Well, you know, Lincoln grew up in an America where he believed that it was important to have a good education. He believed in the right to rise, that by applying smarts and energy and ambition that people could rise to the level of that both those things, their education and ambition, would take them. And in Lincoln's America, that was pretty much true. It was a very fluid society, and his own life, where he had less, by his own admission, less than a year's worth of education.
Formal education.
He ended up becoming president of the United States.
Yeah.
The other amazing thing, though, is that of all of our presidents, most people can quote a line or two that Lincoln wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, if you challenge them to do that for any other president, I dare say most would fail.
Right. Only a handful of presidents we could think of. We could think of something that Washington said, or some of the later presidents like Kennedy, somebody like that.
Right. And so Lincoln understood that it was important, that language was very important. It was important to communicate ideas. As president, running in the Senate in 58, he said that public opinion was all important and that anyone who could shape it would indeed be very influential.
Mm-hmm.
As president, obviously the Civil War and leading the charge in emancipation were probably his two greatest legacies. He kept the country united, and he also helped end slavery, and did it in a way that became concrete with the 13th Amendment,
mm-hmm.
so that he made sure that it wasn't merely something that was done as an executive order during the time of war, which is what the Emancipation Proclamation was.
Mm-hmm.
But he made sure that it had the legal foundation, and that was his all those years as a lawyer writing the circuit in Illinois, you know, that you had it written into the Constitution.
What do you think President Lincoln would think about what we call political correctness today, which is to me, political correctness is where we don't try, where we basically encourage mediocrity and we don't try to encourage people to seek excellence. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, if you look at Lincoln, he was very much a part of his culture, and he told the off-color jokes. He used black dialect in a lot of the jokes, and as well as the immigrant dialect. But he also said something else, which is worth remembering. And he was accused of being an unbeliever and of mocking the Christian faith. This was when he was running against Peter Cartwright, who was a Methodist minister.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a whispering campaign that was begun right before the election, making those accusations. And he came out with a written editorial in the paper where he said, while it's true I'm not a member of any church, he said that he's never knowingly criticized people of belief, and that he believes that the Bible is a very important instructional document.
Hold on to that thought, Tom. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Dr. Thomas Schwartz, the Illinois State historian, is with us. He's joined us on Abraham Lincoln's birthday to talk about this great American. When we come back, he just told us about some of the things he accomplished. I'm going to list a few of the things where he failed. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Dr. Thomas Schwartz, who's the Illinois State Historian, as we celebrate the birthday of Abraham Lincoln. He was born on this day in, 1809? Is that right?
That's right.
I think that's right. Tom, folks, we all know about the great accomplishments of Abraham Lincoln. Tom gave us a few of those a minute ago. But I think it's important that if you want to really appreciate what the man accomplished and how he persevered and the kind of courage and the kind of tenacity and the kind of commitment, the courage of his commitment, of his convictions that he had. Let me read you a little list of things that some of you may have seen me publish these before. And Tom, you know these very well. This is a list of things that he failed at. And just sort of accumulate the magnitude of all this, landing on one person who then ultimately became the president of the United States. He failed in business in 1831. He was defeated for state legislature in 1832. He tried another business in 1833. It failed also. His fiancée died in 1835. He had a nervous breakdown in 1836. In 1843, he ran for Congress and was defeated. He tried again in 1848 and was defeated again. He tried running for the Senate in 1855 and he lost. The next year, he ran for vice president and he lost. In 1959, he ran for the Senate again and was defeated. And in 1860, he was elected president, the 16th president of the United States. That it almost makes you want to cry, doesn't it, Tom, to think about all the things he overcame?
Well, I think, though, any successful person in life is challenged. And how they meet the challenge and how they overcome the challenge only helps make them a stronger person. And, Lincoln himself, when he was confronted with he was in despair because he had broken up with Mary Todd, and he's writing to his good friend Joshua Speed, and he says, I had always used to think that, my resolve was the gem of my character, and here he felt himself at a loss to be able, to make any kind of decision.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of got over it and redoubled his effort, and he ended up going through, kind of putting his doubts aside, went through with the marriage. And it was like most marriages. It was filled with happiness, filled with children, and also filled with some disagreements and some rough spots. No one's life is all a bed of roses. And it's important, I think, that people be given these challenges simply so they don't become complacent or lose sight of the wider world around them. I think when life becomes difficult, that's when you take notice, really take notice of what's going on around you.
One of the things I like about knowing about the difficulties, the challenges that Abraham Lincoln had as a small business owner. As you know, Tom, small businesses work a high wire act without a net. And we have a lot of challenges, and many of us are no more than one bad decision away from failure, and or one piece of bad luck away from failure. And many of us have failed. I have failed. I have had my challenges in business and in life over the years, and I know what that's like. Nothing that I did compares to the list that Lincoln has. But I guess what I'm getting at is if I were recommending small business owners study the life of someone to try to admire, someone to admire for how they not just their politics, not their politics, but the way they live their lives, the courage that they had, I would tell them to look at Lincoln.
Well, that'd be a good model. I mean, yeah. Lincoln is there's something there in Lincoln's life that resonates throughout the world. And if you go any place on the globe and mention Lincoln's name, more times than not, you're going to get recognition and a response to it, mm-hmm. and a positive response.
This week, over the weekend, on the very steps where President Lincoln gave his House Divided speech, what was it in, what year would that have been?
1858.
Barack Obama stood on the same place, apparently, and gave his announcement to run as president to make a bid for the nomination for the Democratic Party for president of the United States. Now, what do you think Mr. Lincoln would think about all that?
Well, you know, Lincoln believed that the Declaration of Independence, the aspirations that all men are created equal, applied to blacks as well as to whites. He believed that blacks, at least in the narrow sense, and this is what he argued in the Lincoln-Douglas debates, that they should be able to keep the fruits of their own labor and not have someone else, not have a master take that away
mm-hmm.
for themselves. They ought to be able to have that, at the very least. Throughout his presidency, he grew to understand that they needed more than that, and that they needed to get full citizenship and get the full rights extended to any American. Now, for Barack Obama to be standing in front of the old state capitol announcing his candidacy for president of the United States, I mean, Obama represents everything that Lincoln stood for.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense, you know, get an education, apply yourself.
Right.
You know, and
aspire to something.
Right.
That's one of the things that political correctness, I'm afraid, has hurt in this country on many levels, not just among black Americans. We need those aspirations in all of the different cultures inside the United States. Tim Till, stay with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Thomas Schwartz. He's the president, I'm sorry, the historian for... Till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with Dr. Thomas Schwartz, who is the Illinois State Historian. He's also the director of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library, and he's got a website that he'd like to tell you about. Tell us about the library, too, Tom.
Okay. The website is www.alplm.org, O-R-G. And it's the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Museum. That's what the acronym is.
ALPLM.org. Okay.
The Presidential Library Museum, the library opened up in 2004, although it was originally created in 1889
mm-hmm.
To collect the history of Illinois, but particularly its favorite son, Abraham Lincoln. The museum opened April 19th of 2005. And in the 22 months we've been open, we've had over 1 million visitors.
Wow.
This is in a town of about 120,000 people,
mm-hmm.
and out in the middle of the corn and bean fields of central Illinois. So, you know, you really have to want to come to see the place. But it's worth the visit. We've taken 21st century technology and applied it to the great American story of the 19th century, and that of the life and times of Abraham Lincoln. We've recreated immersive settings so that when you enter this huge plaza, 80-foot clear-story plaza area, you see a log cabin in a forest off to your left, and you see a White House, to your right. Those are the two journeys. You can start off in Indiana, where Lincoln's learning to read, go through and learn about his life up to his departure from Springfield as president-elect, and then go in the White House and learn about his life as president, the Civil War, and then his assassination. We have two special effects theaters, one that goes to the library, which explains why we save all this old stuff, and then the Union Theater, which has a 30-minute presentation of Lincoln's eyes, which is kind of a brief overview in which there are effects in the theater. The seats are wired so that, for example, when the Civil War begins, cannons come out of the side stages and shoot smoke rings across the audience. It's really soap. And your seats reverberate with the cannon shot.
Right.
And the whole idea of this is so that whether you're 3, 30, or 80, there's something in the museum for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting enough that, you know, you want to learn more. And so far, we have had just overwhelming success in reaching all of these age groups, being able to span the interest across all ages, and especially school kids. And it's important that we target them because, you know, we hear all of these stories that they don't know what century the Civil War was in, and that, you know, their attention span is decreasing, and, you know, they don't read. And what we're finding is that these kids, if the information is presented in an engaging way and in a way that interests them, they'll learn.
As a historian, as an educator, do you believe that the U.S. education system is succeeding or is it failing our young people? What do you think?
Well, it's spotty. You can go to some places where the schools are great and the kids are, you know, the high percentage of kids are going to college, and you can go to other places where it's abysmal.
What do you think Abraham Lincoln would say about all that?
Well, you know, I mean, he never went to public schools much, and he put the onus on individual effort.
Yeah.
And that, you know, if you wanted it badly enough, you'd do it. Mm-hmm. And you would, you know, cover.
But I don't. Yeah. The problem we have though in America, I think, is we have some cultures that hold their own members, the members of those cultures, back. And that's one of the things that Herman Padilla was talking about. I think that's going on in other cultures, and we need to have everybody to believe that it's a good thing for you to strive for excellence, to try to accomplish something.
Absolutely.
And to aspire to be something as Lincoln did.
But in all groups, no matter what, you're going to find those success stories.
Yeah.
And those are the people that you need to talk about and you need to put before the public.
As role models.
As the role model.
And no question about it. Dr. Thomas Schwartz. Tom, thanks for being here. Good job today. And happy Abraham Lincoln birthday.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. See you next time.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.